Yep.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Real Sports Talk Radio, courtesy of BackSportsPage.com, broadcasting live exclusively on BlogTalkRadio.com. You can get in contact with us here at the show at 760-283-0846 and follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BackSportsPage, as well as on Twitter at BackSportsPage. Now here's your hosts, Jose Padilla and Randy Zell.
Okay, so this is now the third week that we are now Randy Zillion and Jose Padilla. My license doesn't say that. I know Seth's license doesn't say that. And welcome to Fantasy Football Tuesday. Our first of three previews. Next week will be College Football Live.
Randy. He's John.
Stop
talking. Everybody who's listening, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with the volume, what's wrong with all this stuff. I don't know.
I think it's very tough.
Something is not right here.
We're having technical difficulties. Please stand by. We're having tech. Oh,
hey, there we go.
Hey, and my name is not Jose Padilla, and this is not Randy Zellier, but for the third week in a row, we've become our alter egos. Anyway,
well,
welcome to Fantasy Football Tuesday.
After hosting with Randy Zellier on Sunday, it will not be Randy Zellier and Seth Kamens on Sunday nights doing any time in the near future.
And I am the beneficiary of that. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon.
Hey, so Fantasy Football Tuesday, we're going to go down our rankings in a little bit of a different method than most shows do, because if you're listening to the show, you kind of know a little bit about fantasy football anyway, so we don't need to give you 1 through 30, but we'll touch on that in a couple of minutes. Just as a preview, next week we have our college football preview. We'll be having a couple of guests on that know a little bit more about college football than myself. In fact, that would be about 60% of the population. Then the following week we have the NFL preview, and then that will be Tuesday, September 4th. September 5th, we will be live. Well, Seth and I will be live. I'm sorry to the millions and millions of listeners, you won't be with us. But we will be at MetLife Stadium watching the Giants, the New York football Giants, pick up their rings and hopefully thrash the Cowboys, along with my fantasy football defense, the New York Giants.
I thought that it was called JetLife Stadium.
It always will be JetLag Stadium.
Only to the, well, to the delusional.
Yes, but that is true. But actually, I forgot something. Let me just say something else. Seth and I will also be having our own fantasy football team, which will be drafted 2 weeks from today, right after the show. One of our loyal listeners, Fred Steinman's league, and myself, Sean, will be, referring to myself in the third person.
Yeah, you're that guy.
I, along with Deion Sanders and Emmett Smith, who both refer to themselves as Deion and Emmett, we'll partake in the Back Sports Page Fantasy Football Draft tomorrow night, which has the weirdest rules of all time, but I'll be posting my team on BackSportsPage.com and on the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show for all to disseminate and pretty much poke fun to my team. But it's
a really weird
rule, so we'll also post those as well.
That draft is tomorrow night?
Draft is tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.
Wow. I guess I should sign up then.
Are you in the league?
I told Randy I was.
Have you
I never
the
signed
invitation?
In though. My beloved co-leader, what can I say?
Well, either way, I will be drafting from the road, so you're more than welcome to draft with me. So, once again, it is the most bizarre rules. It goes along with Randy's personality, but very, very bizarre rules. but we will touch upon those on our Facebook page. And again, we are now about 5 weeks from the NBA, and we still need a favorite team of Seth. So far, there are a couple of votes. One is for the Bobcats, one is for the Bucks, and one is for the Thunder. So far, two very losing teams, and one team that I can't believe. I really sincerely believe Seth voted for the Thunder. Just so you can have a winning team, but that's just my own partake.
Now,
but before we get to football, in one of the weirdest stories of the year, Melky Cabrera made up a website. Now, that sports page was a made-up website at one point, but now it has content that is actually truthful. Melky's website was to counteract a failed drug test. He spent $10,000 on making up a fictitious product with a fictitious website so he could get through and get past the ban. Now, my question is, this is a multi-billion-dollar industry, Major League Baseball. You got to spend more than $10,000, Melky. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to spend $10,000, honestly, I would refer you to the guys who did our website, the Microtech shop in San Francisco. Chris Gilroy did a phenomenal job. My opening joke was going to be that, yeah, I'm sorry I'm late. I was just finishing up Melky's website, but as most of you know, I can barely use the internet, let alone design a website. I don't quite understand this. So they knew he was going to get caught. And he developed this to kind of disassociate himself almost. That, yeah, this is the supplement that I'm using. Oops, it happens to be this. So it's so nonsensical. It's hit Major League Baseball in two capacities. I mean, he was the MVP of the All-Star game, which the National League won. And he may win the batting crown, which may be the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I think one of the interesting things was, and I think one of the scary things was, did they set up this website before he got caught in the event that he did get caught because they knew he was going to get caught? Or did they do this after he got caught and retroactively set up a website? And if I think it's the former, that's even worse, isn't it?
I don't know. This is the epitome of the sublime to the ridiculous. And it's just... It's one of those you just keep reading, and every 45 seconds you go, huh? Now, for those of you who know me, I do that quite a bit because, well, I do kind of have that deer in the headlights kind of look. But this makes no sense. Who came up with this?
Well, a guy named, I don't even know. But the fact of the matter is, Melky has lost all respect, and those that knew him in New York, not that he's dead, but knew of him as the player in New York, thought of him as a glue guy and not a batting champion. So they had kind of the evil eye towards him the last 2 years anyway. But the fact is, he was setting himself up for a major payday. I mean, major payday, like $10 million for 4 years. And now he'll be lucky to get a two-year contract.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the opportunity cost of you spend $10,000 on a website and you hope that makes you $40 million. You... don't spend $10 million on a website. You still use the drugs. You make $30 million. You don't do the drugs. You don't do the website. You probably make about $8 million. So I guess if those are the percentages you're looking at, it may have been the right call. You just had to be, well, smarter about it. And obviously, you know, Melky is not known. Well, his name is Melky. I mean,
well, that's his parents' fault. That's his parents' fault. And if you heard them on the All-Star, you know what? It's going down a bad path. Forget it. You can't diss the parents. And the grandmother was just too cute on the All-Star game, so I can't go there either. But it's an interesting week because of that. We don't have anything about Dwight Howard, so, wow, that's the first week in what? 6 months?
6 months?
6 months.
Should we be jinxing? Should we say jinx like we're eight-year-olds?
Yeah, we don't have any Dwight Howard news. We don't have any Joe Paterno news.
I was going to say no Penn State because we're not touching on the Joe Pozanski thing. Should we talk a little bit before we – I mean, obviously we're going to have a lot to talk about in regards to football. And if anyone wants to call in, the number is 760-283-0846. I think it should be shown in my goal to actually set up an a real introductory clip as opposed to the stupid thing that runs for some reason every time we start our show.
That's just Jose Padilla.
Yeah, well, I sure as hell ain't Jose Padilla. But, you know, 10 years ago, we had an interesting little issue with the Masters and Hootie Johnson and Martha Burke and all this. You know, Martha Burke winning this enormous protest, or the so-called enormous protest against Augusta for not allowing in women. Of course, the protest consisted of 30 people and just an enormous amount of press coverage. This week, Augusta National, the home of the Masters, allowed in their first two women. And I wonder, I don't know if Hootie's dead, and to be honest, I don't really care, but I do wonder if he's kind of rolling in his grave a little bit. Although, I got to admit, the idea of seeing Condoleezza Rice wearing a green jacket is just not that exciting to me.
No, but you knew it was going to happen. I mean, the question was when. I mean, this was not going to last forever. And the concept was this year, I believe it's IBM. IBM's chairman has always been afforded the opportunity to become a member of Augusta National. Always. And this year, IBM elected a chairwoman. So the question was, were they going to allow the chairwoman to become an Augusta member, Augusta National member, or were they going to just stop the concept? And if you stop the concept, then you're really discriminating, aren't you? And not only discriminating, but pretty much slapping IBM in the face, and along with the chairwoman. So I think this I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, continue, please.
I think this is just a way of smoothing that out. So now they're not bending to the pressure of IBM. Rather, they're saying, you know what? It's time.
And they brought in two pretty big hitters. Condoleezza Rice, obviously the former Secretary of State, Stanford graduate, supposed girlfriend at one point potentially of Gene Washington. Well, that's probably not what she wants to be known as. And I think the last name is Moore, although she was married to Richard Roundtree, one of the big investment guys, and started Bridgewater, one of the big hedge funds. You know, good for them. It should have been done 10, 20, 30 years ago. But as we said, it's better late than never. And I don't want to dwell on it too much. But it was, it was something that needed to at least be stated quickly.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, it's kind of been a little bit of a slow week sports-wise. Again, we're kind of in that 2 or 3 week range where there's
pre-season
really not
football.
Too much.
It's preseason football, but there has not been a major injury.
Except for the Michael Vick, which isn't major. Except for the Michael Vick, which isn't
major.
I said, which
that's
wasn't
not,
really major.
Yeah, he's not going to miss any time. We have the Jets being just damn awful. We have baseball, which is in the dog days of summer, being August, and the Rays, coming back and now only four out from the Yankees. But you're at basketball taking up. Being basketball, finally taking a month off after the Olympics, and hockey in what we may see as another lockout. But if you want to talk about hockey, listen to Randy's show on Sunday night for about 40 minutes every hour. You'll get that with no problem.
Oh God.
Anyway,
you should probably listen to Off the Crossfire with Keegan Reed, who's on
there
every Thursday night.
We are big fans of Sir Reed.
Yes, we are. So, although 2 hours of hockey is a bit much for me in the off season, that being said, him and James and Adam Wells do a very, very nice job. So guess what time it is, Sean?
It's fantasy football.
Why do I get the feeling you're doing football. The Balky Batakamas Dance of Joy right now?
Actually, I was not... But it could have been misconstrued that way.
I'll take your word for it.
It's possible. I was doing the jig. I mean, this is fantasy football drafting is my favorite time of the year. It's better than baseball drafting. It's better than, because there are so many different rules, so many different types of drafts, so many different types of leagues. And I'm in some great leagues with some great players, including my co-host. And we co-sponsor a team in the, as I said, the Fred Steinman League. So this is the most expensive part of my year, but it's also the most fun part of my year. So the way that we're going to go about doing this, and I'll let Seth tell you what we're going to be giving our opinions on. But we have decided that our opinions are solely based on regular standard leagues, which means two running backs, two wide receivers, a flex position, a tight end, and the flex position could be wide receiver or running back, a tight end, one quarterback, and one defense and one kicker. We are not dealing with points per reception, and if we get to the point where we are recommending somebody based on that, we will tell you all about it. We do not endorse gambling on this show, although we do have a lot of fun with it.
The way we've kind of decided to do it is we're going to go through the big, you know, the QB, the running back, wide receiver, yada yada. We're going to show we're going to tell our top five, and we're going to do our three most overrated, three most underrated, and we're basing that, you know, I'm basing that more upon where I see people ranking them, whether it's ESPN or CNNSI, and I'm, you know, whether I think, let's say, you know, for instance, if, you know, I assume they both have Aaron Rodgers as their number one. If I think he should be number four and number five, which I'm not exactly saying, you know, I would look at that as an underrated versus overrated, as opposed to, you know, things along those capacities. So we're going to do three of each. We'll explain. We'll probably talk about each other's picks, and we'll go from there, and we'll see where we take it. And we might as well get started.
And if you have any comments, please give us a call at 760-283-0846. And if you have a really weird fantasy story, let us know. We're definitely interested in hearing fantasy mess-ups. The fact that in my first league ever, somebody picked the Cleveland Browns in the first round, their defense, number nine, that's pretty bad.
We've had a couple. We've had Tatum Bell go in the second round.
Yeah.
A few years back, we had a kicker go in the second or third round, although I forget which one.
Probably Vandergast.
Could have been. I don't remember. I actually, before we go, I want to give out an apology to some of our listeners. And I had said about 2 weeks ago that, you know, I had posted a question about the Olympics, and usually it's been a pretty consistent 15 to 20 people respond, which I'm obviously grateful for. And the last 2 weeks I hadn't received anything back, and I thought they were pretty good questions. And what I realized is when Facebook transitioned, they changed my postings. So when I was posting, no one was able to see. Now, maybe people don't want to listen to me talk because, well, I have a big mouth, but usually they like answering the question. So when I was questioning, no one was able to see it. So going forward, I'll be a little bit more careful about that. But thanks to Marcy Noble, an ex-writer from Back Sports Page and Bleacher Report, who actually helped me figure this out. Going forward, you want to start with some quarterbacks?
Sure. I think we're going to do the top five quarterbacks, and I don't think there's any issue on who number one is. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is by far the best quarterback, and if you can pick him up for $71 in a $200 auction draft, which is what we did last year, go for it.
Yeah.
Although
I'm not
that
gonna
may
lie.
Go against our strategy this year. We may actually wait.
Yeah, this was when I looked at my partner and said, are you out of your bleeping mind? And I wouldn't curse, of course, because, God forbid, the FCC shut us down. But, one of the things you always have to learn in fantasy is not to get caught up in emotion. And unfortunately, although it did work out pretty well for us with Aaron Rodgers, who I agree is the number one quarterback in fantasy football this year. Want to do your two through five?
Yeah, when quarterbacks come up, I think this year Seth will have the computer, so I don't jump on to quarterbacks, because there are, and this is what Seth and I decided last year, there are 12 viable quarterbacks. 12 completely viable quarterbacks. If you're going to pick fantasy league quarterbacks, maybe 13. So the difference between 1 and 13 is probably about 60 points. So I wouldn't go and shoot the moon on your quarterback because they're, as I, last night, I picked the 12th quarterback in the draft, 11 quarterbacks who went before me, and I still got Matt Schaub. So I was very happy with that. And I got Matt Schaub in the 10th round. All right. I think number two is Breeze. Three is Brady. Four is Matt Stafford. And five is Eli Manning for me.
Okay. I'll go through mine first. My number two this year is Brady. My number three is Matt Stafford. My number four is Drew Brees. And my number five is actually Tony Romo. Although,
I can
to be fair, if Jason Witten, if Witten is not healthy, I would probably switch that with either Matt Ryan or Eli Manning.
I like Matt Ryan this year, and this goes to our three guys, and I've done two drafts already, so I have some inkling as to where guys are going. Rather than Seth's doing it based on rankings, I'm doing it based on where I've seen people go in drafts. I definitely think that those five are there. You obviously didn't have Eli in there. You had more of a Matt Ryan, Tony Romo. But like I said, the difference in quarterbacks to me is so minor that it really doesn't matter. If you get one of the top 12 guys, you're good to go. And I don't think you should overshoot for one through five if you can get six through 10.
I'm not sure about that. You know, last year going in, I concurred. But there was such a definitive – I disagree in regards. You had Brees, who had a Hall of Fame year last year. Rodgers had an insane year last year. You had Stafford and Brady, and man, like, these guys threw for 5,000 yards. That is a bit of a difference between a guy throwing for 5,000 and 40 touchdowns versus a guy throwing for 3,300 and 20 touchdowns.
I don't think that's my point. My point is the value that you're getting for those guys. Say if you could get so your guy, you're saying 3,300 and 30 touchdowns. That's Phillip Rivers or
it's
Matt
good
Ryan.
Any. There's no specifics.
Okay,
I'm not looking anywhere.
Ben Roethlisberger. So let's use Roethlisberger as an example. So Ben Roethlisberger gets 3,500 yards and 30 touchdowns, and Brady gets 40 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. Right? That's basically what it is. So that's the difference. That's a difference of 40 points on the passes. And if you're in a four-point touchdown league, that's a difference of 40 points. So in total, that's a difference of 80 points between the two quarterbacks. Now,
which is 5 points
in,
per week.
Five
4 points
per game. Agreed. So let's go, and you can get Ben Roethlisberger in the fifth round and pick up a top running back or have to deal with a top in the first round or deal with getting Rodgers and getting, say, D'Angelo Williams in the fifth round. I'm thinking you're probably better off getting Roethlisberger and, say, I don't know, Ray Rice than you would Aaron Rodgers.
I agree.
And D'Angelo Williams.
I misunderstood where you were going with it. I agree. And that's why I've always been hesitant to go, I mean, especially – this year is a bit of an anomaly, actually, and I have my first draft tomorrow. I didn't even realize I got to do some research tonight. But
now you do.
Yeah, no, I mean it's such a quarterback heavy league, and when we get the running backs are distinctly weaker. The wideouts are, I think, kind of par for the course right now, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Because when we get to the running backs, we'll discuss that a little bit more. But obviously, a lot of these have gone to two running backs, to a dual running back system, which is not as conducive for a fantasy league. So, you know, going to, I guess, your overrated, underrated.
Yeah. So go for your overrated first.
Okay. My overrated. Number one, Cam Newton. Cam coming off his unbelievable rookie year. However, they still don't really have a quality second receiver or tight end. The running backs were not great last year. And he did struggle quite a bit coming down towards the end of the season. I don't see a huge slump, but I've been seeing him as a number four, number five, number six, as high as the number, not pretty much anywhere from four to seven on the QB ratings, and I wouldn't put him that high. I think he's going to fall back a bit this year. Number two, Peyton Manning. Simply because I'm not really sure what we have in him right now. You have a mediocre running back. I mean, mediocre running game, an offensive line that's not fantastic. You know, Demaryius Thomas is nice. We think Eric Decker could be Brandon Stokely, but he has no stars around him. We still don't know how well he'll take a hit. And I would kind of shy away from him, unless you're getting to a round where it's so low. And number three was actually my MVP for last year, or my MVP candidate for last year, who didn't exactly, in large part, no fault of his own, really succeed. Now it's Philip Rivers. You know, there's Brown, Malcolm, and I'm forgetting the receiver Brown's last first name.
Antonio Brown.
Thank you. Is Antonio Brown the Steelers?
Yes.
Mr. Brown.
Sorry.
Is it
Antonio Brown. No, you're right. Vincent
Yeah.
Brown.
Thank you.
Vincent Brown.
No, it's Vincent Jackson. But he's gone.
Oh.
Is it Vincent Brown? Why am I forgetting the name? The number one receiver in San Diego's hurt. The number one receiver from last year, Vincent Jackson, is in Tampa.
Vincent Brown. I was right.
Okay. Antonio Gates is coming back, but he is older. He's coming off of an injury. Ryan Matthews couldn't stay healthy if his life depended on it. I think he takes a step. I think he kind of falls back from that 5-7 group to kind of the 10-13 group right now.
Okay.
Those are my three overrated.
My first two are the same as yours. I think Cam Newton doesn't become a top 10 quarterback this year. I think he's in the 10-15 range. I think with the addition of Mike Tolbert, they have yet another facet to the running game. And if you look at the last seven games that Cam Newton played last year, he didn't average more than 225 yards rushing, throwing, and he didn't average more than 60 yards rushing. That's a bad idea. So I think he's number one. Peyton Manning, again, number two. Not only will Eric Decker not be Brandon Stokley, but Brandon Stokley will be Brandon Stokley because he's the third running. He's the third wide receiver on that team. They had to bring him out of retirement. So I don't think he has the running back crew. I think McGahee is good, but he's not a great running back. I don't think he takes the pressure off Manning. I don't think Manning's the Manning of 3 years ago. He's also, again, a 10-15 guy, but he's been drafted in the 6-8 range. And number three, Michael Vick. Michael Vick has been drafted in the 5-7 range. Michael Vick gets hurt every single year. He's going to get hurt again. He may miss 3-4 games. If you're picking up Michael Vick, you're going to have to get a backup quarterback, and a backup quarterback that's pretty high. Okay, for the underrated players, here are my three underrateds. Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger never misses a game. If there's one thing that he never does, it's miss a game. Every ranking I've seen him is from 10 to 12. I'm putting him 8 to 10. I seriously think that he is a very underrated quarterback. Matt Schaub, if he is healthy, and that's the big thing with Schaubie, is health. He's in the 5 to 10 range. That offense is going to go vertical this year in Houston. And number three, I have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's going 15 to 20, because everybody is thinking about the last 5-7 games of his season last year, but everybody's forgetting the first 10. He's got wideouts. He's got Donald Jones. He's got Stevie Johnson. He is going to rack up 4,000 yards, in my opinion, this year. He will be in the 5-10 range. He's currently going in the 15-20 range.
I didn't really think about Roethlisberger in regards to an underrated. I went further down on the chart. Who is your number two?
My number two is Schaub.
Schaub. I'm not a huge – because Schaub does get hurt. Andre Johnson gets hurt. I don't love their second – I don't even know who is their second receiver.
Kevin Walters.
Kevin Walters, exactly. So there's no real improvement on there. Arian Foster is obviously a stud, but he will take away yards, and he's also injury-prone. Ryan Fitzpatrick I have as number two on my list. If everyone remembers, before Fred Jackson went down, that was one of the high-flying offense, one of the two or three best offenses in the NFL. And then Fitzpatrick played the last month, apparently, with busted ribs. they're not in a division of great defenses, I think Buffalo will be solid this year. My number one is Andy Dalton, who is going, it looks like, around 20, 23. This guy is a winner. This guy throws the ball well. He has a stud number one in A.J. Green. They have a decent line. His arm is better than people think. Again, I wouldn't put him in the top 10, but I think he's higher than 21, 22. I'd put him around the 15, 16 range. Number two is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who we've discussed. Number three is Josh Freeman. You know, he took a lot of the blame for the free fall that happened last year, which cost Raheem Morris his job in Tampa. They have a bona fide number one receiver in Vincent Jackson. New coach, new running backs. Remember Freeman 2 years ago was considered one of the up and coming studs in the NFL. I think he'll revert back to that form.
Okay. I like Josh Freeman, and more so I like the running back that they drafted in Doug Martin. We're going to move on to into running backs, and I think I think we both agree is going to be Arian Foster being number one as far as running backs are concerned. Number two, I have LeSean McCoy. I know people go with Ray Rice. Number two, I think you can flip them back and forth. I have number three is Chris Johnson, who I think is going to come back huge. And that's number four. Number five, I have a tie. I know I'm taking a cop-out way of doing this, but I love Darren McFadden, and I think if he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the top three. I know that he always misses time, so that's why he's at number five along with Matt Forte. And this is where I'm going to go. If you are in a PPR league, which is points per reception league, I think Arian Foster actually drops out of the top spot and goes to number two. I think you can either have Ray Rice or LeSean McCoy at the number one spot. I also think that Chris Johnson drops from four, in my opinion, to seven, and Forte and McFadden jump above him.
Okay, I'm actually one of the rare people who doesn't have Foster as the number one running back. He's my number two. I actually like LeSean McCoy this year as my number one running back. Foster two, Rice three. Darren McFadden, again, the big if, he can stay healthy. If he stays healthy, he's my four. And actually, this is kind of a bit of a reach at five, but if he can come back healthy from his injury, I like DeMarco Murray. Chris Johnson scares the heck out of me for a variety of reasons, which I don't think I have him on my overrated list. No, I don't. Johnson scares the heck out of me because, number one, they're going to play in the box against Jake Locker with no receivers, considering that Kenny Britt is still injured or suffering from whatever he's suffering from, another DUI, I forget which. I don't like their passing offense. Johnson was awful last year. And if he has been humbled and kind of reacts correctly, then yes, he can go back to being, well, not what he was 2 years ago when he ran for 2,000 yards, but he can have a very nice year. But I'm still a little iffy on him. Matt Forte I'm not going to really go into Forte until we go to the overrated, underrated. But
do we know where he is?
Yeah, I think you have a guess, although I do like him very much. But I'll let you go. You go first with your overrated.
Overrated, Trent Richardson. He's going in the 10 to 15 range. I don't think he cracks the top 20 to 25. Talk about stacking the box. If there's one team that they're going to stack the box against, it's going to be Cleveland, because not only does Cleveland not have a quarterback, but they also don't have receivers. I don't think he gets over 900 yards, if that, this year, and I think he's in the 20 to 25 range. Number two, as far as overrated players, Ahmad Bradshaw. Look, I know he's a Super Bowl champ, but that offense is no longer a rushing offense. It is now a throwing offense, and I think Bradshaw, who doesn't catch the ball extremely well, will get his 1,000 yards, but he doesn't get the scores. They drafted a couple of running backs, I think, in David Wilson, who I think is going to come on, and DJ Wade. Ahmad Bradshaw is not even three down back. I have a problem with him being that high. And the third one that I have a problem with, and I absolutely love Ryan Matthews, but I'm scared that broken ankle that he suffered, I think it was a broken ankle, wasn't it? Matthews?
I forget if it's an ankle or a knee, but yeah.
It was something extremities. I mean, it wasn't. He says that he's on tap to come back in week one. I don't see it. I really don't. And if he's not back week one, then why? I mean, then you have a problem of when he does come back. Because if you're not going to bring him back that early, then they look at week two, maybe week three, maybe waiting for the bye. He may be out till October. I mean, oh, it's a broken clavicle. Sorry, it wasn't a knee. But a clavicle, if you remember, is, I mean, you put a whole lot of stress on your shoulders. Ryan Matthews, I wouldn't pick him in the top 20.
I put together four. I couldn't separate out, and two of them matched yours. Yes, Matt Forte, I find overrated. Not as a player, per se, but I'm always suspicious of players who play their best in a contract year. You have Michael Bush coming in, who is a damn good backup and could be a starter for several teams in this league. I think Matt Forte will be healthy this year. I just don't think he'll have the stats compared to what he did last year. Talk about a guy who's contract year, Marshawn Lynch in Seattle.
Skittles.
He was, what'd you say? Skittles?
Skittles.
Yep. Obviously coming off the amazing New Orleans playoff game, and then he had a great year last year, signs a four-year, $31 million deal. I see him falling back severely. I don't particularly like their offense right now. Their wideouts are not scaring anybody. And we still don't know who their quarterback is, whether it's Matt Flynn or Russell Wilson. So, and, you know, he's one of those I thought had great – I mean, I liked him a lot more actually coming out of college, although he was great this year. Then I pretty much have a tie for similar reasons. Ryan Matthews cannot stay healthy at any point. And Trent Richardson, because he has no help on offense. And rookie running backs, with the exception of Adrian Peterson, have not always performed great. So those are my four that I kind of found overrated.
Okay.
I'll let you respond.
Maybe underrated. Maybe underrated.
My underrated. Number one, Ben Jarvis, Ben Ellis, who looks like he's been going around the mid-20s for running backs. He is just he's an upgrade of Cedric Benson in Cincinnati. He'll get his 1,000 to 1,200 yards. He'll get a lot of 1 yard, 2 yard plunges. He doesn't fumble. He fits Marvin Lewis. I think it's a great fit, and I think he'll do very well there. Number two, Reggie Bush, this is a guy who admittedly his first 3-4 years was a disappointment as a number two pick coming out of USC. Runs for about 1,100 last year, has 1,400 all-purpose yards. And with Joe Philbin coming in, running kind of a spread offense that made Green Bay so effective, I see him catching a decent amount of balls out of the backfield. I think he's still going to be the number one running back over Daniel Thomas. For people rating him 23, 24, again, I see him more in the 15, 17 range. And finally, Fred Jackson from Buffalo, who looks like he's going about 15 or 16, but he was a top three running back before he got hurt. His injury, he is 30, but his injury is not something that's supposed to affect him going forward. I do like that offense still. I like that they have a C.J. Spiller to spell him in a little bit. And I think he looks like he's going pretty lower than I would anticipate, I would have said going in.
Okay. I think Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis is going to plod his way to 1,000 yards, but that's about it. I think he's an ordinary back. I don't think that there's anything more than that. Reggie Bush, I agree with you. No question. Fred Jackson is now going to split some time with C.J. Spiller. I think that's going to be a problem for him. My three underrated, I think Michael Turner is actually going lower than he should. He's been going in the fourth or fifth round. He's a third round back. He will still get 8 to 10 touchdowns. If that's what you're looking for, he's your guy. I think Peyton Hillis is going to come back strong with Kansas City. They're going to run 70% of the time. And he's going to get a 50-50 split, if not more, with Jamaal Charles coming back from that injury for Jamaal Charles. So that's number two. I think Donald Brown is going in the 10th to 11th round. Donald Brown is the starter, undisputed starter, in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck. Do I think that he is a dominant back by any stretch? No. Do I think that he is a 1,000-yard rusher? He's going to get the attempts, so yes, he's being drafted behind guys like D'Angelo Williams, Isaac Redman, C.J. Spiller, Jonathan Stewart, Ray Helu, Roy Helu,
Beanie Wells, all guys that are in timeshares. Donald Brown is not in the timeshare. He's got the job. Give him the draft position.
I actually have no argument with you on Hillis. I was thinking about adding him as well. Kansas City, yeah, is not, you know, even with Matt Castle back, is not exactly a throwing machine. Who else did you say? Fred Jackson is still going to be the starter over C.J. Spiller. I'm not really – C.J. Spiller strikes me more of – he's kind of becoming almost a Dexter McCluster, more of a, you know, kind of a change of pace back. He'll get the ball 20 to 30% of the time, but it's not going to be an even split. And Jarvis Benalis, I like. You know, yes, he'll plot his way to 1,000 to 1,200 yards, and he'll get 8 to 10 touchdowns. That makes sense to me. And, yes, any starting running back should not be drafted in the 10th round. So no major complaints on yours.
All right. Now we're going over to the wideouts. I think we can both agree that Calvin Johnson is number one.
Yes.
Okay. Number two and three, I know I'm going to go a little bit off the board. A lot of people are drafting A.J. Green as the fourth or fifth receiver. I'm going to make a claim that he's going to go number two. I really like A.J. Green this year. Number three I have is Julio Jones in Atlanta. Number four I have is Akeem Nicks, who I drafted last night. And number five I have is Wes Welker.
Tell you, it's a very different scoreboard than it was last year.
Yeah.
I agree with you, obviously, Calvin Johnson at one. I have Larry Fitzgerald, not quite, well, actually I shouldn't say, I have Andre Johnson at two, although he scares me, obviously, because of his health. I have Akeem Nicks at three, Wes Welker at four, and A.J. Green at five. There are obviously some big names that are missing, and when we get to overrated, underrated, I'll happily talk about that. But no major issues. I do. If Andre Johnson is healthy, and again, that's always the big if, to me, he's still the number two receiver in football. Especially.
I'd agree with that, but I don't think he'll ever stay healthy.
Yeah, well, that's the question. So we'll start with the overrated. And
okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll run with that. Unfortunately, my overrateds are pretty big names. Number one is Roddy White, who was last year the number two receiver taken in certain drafts. He had more drops than usual last year. The offense will be spread out more. So obviously, with the expansion, with Julio Jones becoming a stud, his numbers will drop. Number two is Larry Fitzgerald, simply because he has no help at quarterback. To me, Larry Fitzgerald, talent-wise, is still a top three receiver, but he has no help. John Skelton and Kevin Cobb have not proven to be the answers. There's no great running back, no great help assistant receiver. Hopefully Michael Floyd can assist in that capacity. So having had Fitzgerald and been exasperated with him throughout the year last year, I would stay away from him. Number three is Steve Smith, almost for a similar reason as Fitzgerald. Oh, I shouldn't say Fitzgerald, although he has a better quarterback, obviously. Brandon LaFell has not proven to be the answer at wideout. The second wideout, they don't have a great tight end. So you're going to have – Steve Smith will be having constant double teams this year.
Okay. I have likewise big names because I think only big names are overrated players. Number one is Victor Cruz. And I know everybody loves Victor Cruz. Well, Victor Cruz is no longer the anomaly he was last year. They're going to be covering Victor Cruz this year. And not to say that they didn't last year, but I think it'll be a little bit tighter. So I got Victor Cruz as number one. Number two is Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson is going to split a lot of catches with a lot of people, and especially with Greg Jennings. So that's number two. Number three is Dez Bryant. He's got to get on the field, and the problem is I don't think he does. For my underrated – sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say it's an interest. You don't – why is Bryant – is Bryant hurt again?
Bryant is hurt again. He's got plantar fasciitis.
Oh, well, yeah, that would do it.
He was injured following Monday's practice.
Okay, I didn't see that. Well, it's Tuesday. But, yeah, if he's hurt and Witten's hurt, then my Tony Romo pick at number five probably doesn't sound very good. But
no.
Anyway.
Okay, underrated players. I love Brandon Marshall this year. Seth knows I loved him last year, but I really love him this year. He won't find you the end zone. It seems like he's allergic to the end zone. But he will get 100 catches. So I do like Brandon Marshall. He's going 13th. I think he needs to go between 6 and 8. That's number one. Number two, Jeremy Maclin, who's going around the fifth round. Fifth or sixth round needs to go up a little bit, maybe to 3 or 4. So that would be number two. And number three is not a deep one. Well, I got a tie. Antonio Brown from Pittsburgh and Titus Young from Detroit. If somebody's going to catch that ball other than Calvin Johnson. So now the question is, who's that going to be?
Well, I went a little bit more obscure on the underrated, although we do have one in common. Actually, my first one's not. And this surprised me. My number one is Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin, for all his injuries and his headaches and having no offense and no quarterbacks, he was the number 7 receiver in football last year for fantasy. Go figure. And hopefully if Peterson AP comes back, and we'll touch on AP, we'll have a more basic discussion after this. Ponder is a year older, a little bit of help. We'll see what happens. My number two is Titus Young. I think he beats out Nate Burleson for the second job. Even if he doesn't, he'll be able to play the slot. Matthew Stafford's going to throw the ball 8 zillion times this year. My number three is Torrey Smith. I do like Joe Flacco this year. I don't quite agree with him as he's a top 5 receiver, a 5 quarterback in the league. But with Anquan Boldin getting up there in age, Lee Evans being cut, they still obviously have Ray Rice as their number one running back, almost and receiver. I think Torrey Smith had a great rookie year. Well, of course, I'm a little bit biased because of his alma mater. He's been going with like about 30 to 35, and I think I would jump him up about 5 spots on that.
Okay. So now we go to tight end, which is actually my favorite position because in every single league, it seems like I pick tight end first. However, I think tight end is being very, very overrated this year as to how high they're going. I think the value is just not there. My top 3 tight ends are Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, and Antonio Gates.
Really?
And I'm only picking 3 because I don't think you need 5 on tight ends.
Really? And you think Antonio Gates comes fully back?
Absolutely. I think without a Vincent Jackson and without a Vincent Brown, I think Antonio Gates is the man.
Funny. I think the same thing. My number one is actually Jimmy Graham. My number two is Rob Gronkowski. My number three is Antonio Gates.
Yeah, I don't think, I think that the value, again, of first of all, I don't think Gronkowski has 18 touchdowns again. And we can get into the overrated, and I think he's number one. I think Rob Gronkowski's number one. I think Jimmy Graham's number two. And I think, we only mentioned top 3, so I'm only going to give you, and I think Jermichael Finley's number 3. I think the top 3 tight ends are the most overrated tight ends because of where they're going. You're seeing tight ends go in the second round. I love picking tight ends. I love that in my 17 years, I think we're on 16 years in this league, 15 of them I picked tight ends first. But I won't be doing that this year because of how expensive it is to pick a tight end. The value just isn't there. So for those are my top 3. I think you can get not just as good. You're not going to get that good. But let's remember, Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham had all-time seasons last year. They had record-breaking seasons last year. They're not going to break records every year. I don't think Gronkowski has more than 12 touchdowns this year. He had 18 last year. If you bring him down 40 points, he's even with just about anybody.
I'll give you my 3. You give your 3 overrated tight ends. I'll give you my 3.
Yep.
Number one, Jermichael Finley. Because you know what? Every year he's supposed to be a stud, and guess what? He's one of 6 receivers on that team. Number 2 is Rob Gronkowski, simply for the argument you made. He's not going to have 18 touchdown catches this year. He kind of partied like a rock star all off season, which I don't care about. God bless him.
Partied like a rock star.
Thank you. But I'm kind of curious to see where his head is going to be. I think he's going to have a huge fallback. I actually like Jimmy Graham a lot. So I don't have him as my 3rd overrated. My 3rd overrated, it's kind of a weird overrated, is Tony Gonzalez. because, again, maybe you're underrated at this point, but with the emergence of Julio Jones and of Jaquez Rogers catching balls out of the slot back position, I think he finally starts to fall back a little bit. He had, I think, 80 catches last year. I'm assuming he's going to get to about 50 to 55 this year, and this being his last year. And I just think, you know, those are my three.
Okay, well, one of your three is on my underrated list.
I'm assuming that would be Gonzalez.
Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez is going in the 8th or 9th round. No way. No way. He's going to put up numbers on the second tier right behind the big three. The big two. I don't even have big three. Number two, I think Fred Davis might lead the league in points from tight ends this year. He's that good. He was on a pace last year to come third behind Grant. And then he got suspended because he smoked dope, like so many others. And number three, being very, very low, sometimes undrafted, Greg Olsen from Carolina. I think he fits very well into that offense this year. Remember, last year there was no training camp, so Cam Newton and Greg Olsen got traded to Carolina in training camp, or towards the end of it. There was no offseason. Greg Olsen didn't get to work with Cam Newton at all during the preseason. He's the man. I think he is a late-round flyer.
Wow.
I also like Jacob Tammy, but that's number four.
Okay. Well, I love Fred Davis because he represented himself in a lawsuit. And if you can find it on the Huffington Post, where they read it, please read about it. It is one of the funniest things you'll ever see. I agree with you on one of the underrated. Actually, I have Jacob Tammy as my number one underrated. You know, Manning always is a guy who likes his comfort zone. He always does what he feels most comfortable with. He knows Jacob Tammy. Tammy caught 70 passes with him last year, or 3 years ago. And this is a man who made Dallas Clark a borderline Hall of Famer. Number two is actually Dallas Clark's replacement in Indy, Kobe Fleener. Again, they're coming into a new offense. There's no expectation. He does know Andrew Luck, having played with him at Stanford. I think he'll be very effective. Number three is Jared Cook from Tennessee. Had a couple hundred yard games in the last few games. Had about 800 yards last year. And I like people who are going into contract years. I always look for that, and he is. Those are my three.
The other thing that you have to remember is with a young quarterback, the best friend that a young quarterback has is his tight end. So, I mean, when you have an Andrew Luck, you have a Jake Locker, they're going to be looking for tight ends. So I think more than anything, that's what Peyton Manning taught everybody, that the tight end is the fail-safe. I didn't really go into defenses or kickers because, to me, they're a dime a dozen. I don't really have an underrated or overrated defense.
I did defenses. I did not do kickers.
Okay, so we'll do defenses quick. My top three on defenses, Pittsburgh is always a top defense, and I'll put them there again. Baltimore is number two, and tied between San Fran, and I have the Giants. I actually love the Giants for sacks this year. But it is in a very, very difficult, to me, division where points can come out like crazy.
I have actually Houston as my number one. I thought they played extraordinarily well without Mario Williams and with J.J. Watt coming back. They seem to recover nicely, plus they're in a pretty weak division. I have San Francisco number two, and I have the Giants number three.
Yeah, I think go ahead.
No, I'll do my quickly, my overrated, underrated. And, you know, you can go from there. Overrated, the Bears, who I think are getting older on the defensive side. Urlacher's in his 10th or 11th year. Briggs is getting older. Their secondary isn't as good as it used to be, and they're in a division with the two best possibly the two best offenses in the passing offenses in the league. The Jets, because of Rex Ryan, they continuously, you know, and Darrell Revis and Cromartie, they have great corners, and that's really about it. They can't rush the quarterback. They don't have a great run defense. They're middle of the road. And Baltimore, because eventually Suggs is out. Ray Lewis is old. Ed Reed is getting old. Their corners aren't great, and I think they're going on reputation. Underrated Buffalo. They cause lots of turnovers, and they're running game. They don't have any great sacks wise, but Mario Williams should help in that. The Texans I've discussed before, and I actually put two underrated and four. I should have had two underrated and four overrated. Denver, because they really have Von Miller, and that's about it. Dumervil's coming off a road rage incident. Champ Bailey, 73 years old. I don't love them particularly this year.
Okay. I think the thing about defense is if you're going into a fantasy league is you have to look at what division they're in. I think you made a very valid point being Houston is in Jacksonville and Indy's division, so they get to play each of them twice. So I think you have to look towards that, and I would agree with all of what you said. Wow, we actually made it on time. 5 minutes to go.
Well, so, we now actually can go anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, so it doesn't really matter.
But we like to keep our listeners on a schedule, so we'll try and keep it at an hour if we can. So we're going to wrap up. So my props go out to one Jim Joyce. Jim Joyce, my man. I mean, seriously, last year he basically flubbed a call that cost Armando Galarraga a perfect game, and they came out and admitted it. And if that wasn't enough, last night he saved the life of an Arizona Diamondback employee by administering CPR to a woman that was having a seizure at Chase Field. From a guy that has given CPR and saved a life, which would be myself, that is both the most amazing feeling in the world and the most traumatic feeling in the world to actually be in that situation. Jim Joyce, you are my hero. Seriously, that is an unbelievable effort. You get props all the way around. Even Armando Galarraga will shake your hand tonight. So I had a lot of fun on this fantasy football preview. Next week we go to college football, in which I will not be speaking for probably 70%. So if you don't like me and do like listening to Seth, please tune in on that show. And the following week we have the NFL preview, and then we start the bonanza known as football season. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Well, from one extreme to the other, guess who's back? Back again. Roger's back. Bring your friends. Roger Clemens decides, you know what? I don't really want to be up for the Hall of Fame this year. People are still a little bit iffy about me. They don't like me too much. 50 years old. You know what? I'm going to go pitch an independent game. Great. However, there is a pretty good chance that he will end up pitching a game in Houston this year. And as you know, just like in every other Hall of Fame, that once you pitch a game, you can't be eligible for the Hall of Fame for 5 years after the last professional, after your last professional partaking, I guess, for lack of a better word. So, I mean, would I like to think he's doing this for the love of the game? Yeah. Do I think he's doing it for the love of the game? No. I think he's doing it because he understands that in another 5 years, the fans will be, and the sports writers more specifically, will be more sympathetic. We'll look at his seven Cy Youngs. I mean, you know, pretty much his unquestioned position as the greatest pitcher of our era. And we'll forget everything that went with him. Will that happen? It could be. I don't know. If he's doing it just for the love of the game, then good for him. But, sorry, I just don't really believe it. For Sean Palmer, this is Seth Kamens. Seth and Sean, backsportspage.com. Check us out. Back and better than ever. College football preview next week. Good night, everybody.